Welcome to this new episode of Reimagine, the podcast program by the GSR Foundation about innovation on publishing and reading.
In today's episode of Reimagine, our invited guest is Joanna Brinton, Senior Regional Manager, EMEA, in charge of Global Libraries and Education at Overdrive. Joanna presents the role of her company as a middleman between publishers and libraries. Her description shows a diversification in business models that Overdrive has experienced during the past few years, making the company a solution adaptable to different conditions within library networks.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much for the opportunity of speaking at Reimagine. I'm very fond of this event, and especially this year, because after a long absence of not being able to meet each other, it feels even more special to be here with colleagues from the whole industry. And I'll talk a little bit about being an intermediary between the publishers and the libraries, which is we empower digital lending for libraries and obviously a marketplace for publishers to sell to the libraries and build up digital collections as almost a supplemental branch to their physical branches. So Overdrive was founded in 1986. I think our first digital library is over 20 years old now, and we have our world headquarters in Cleveland, Ohio, in the U.S. We're a B-certified corporation, which means that we take great care of how our company impacts the community around us, and we're very careful in measuring those KPIs. We serve over 76,000 libraries around the world, schools, corporate and government institutions in over 100 countries. And the marketplace that we operate for our publishing partners is the leading catalog of ebooks, audiobooks, magazines, videos, and other digital materials that are available for libraries to purchase for the use of their patrons. And we're a mission-based certified B Corporation, and our mission is creating or being an actor and an enabler of a world in enlightened by reading. What I want to talk about today in relation to publishers and libraries is what are the elements between publishers and libraries that make for a successful relationship between the parties. And as a middle person, as a mediator in that relationship, I'm going to talk about what the sales channels and reach are, what the inventory and catalog represent, the institutional content sales models that give the flexibility to the publisher to offer certain books in one way to different types of institutions and institutions to purchase on different options for the best use for their community. Digital library circulation as a result of this interaction between publishers, a digital platform, and their libraries. And the reader interest and engagement, which I think is the most important part here and the biggest opportunity for both parties to work together. The libraries are very unique, as Anne-Marie explained earlier on, are a very unique space in the community. And the type of activities and the type of engagement across every socioeconomic layer in that community is an area where basically working with the interest of that community and around books, I think there's a closer collaboration that can happen between publishers and libraries, and basically to promote stories, to promote understanding, to promote knowledge, and to promote authors and their books. So a few numbers, and I'm not going to spend too much time on this, but there are different sales channels and that reach different audiences in e-lending. The ones that we're most familiar with are the public libraries. So Overdrive serves over 22,000 public libraries. These can be major metropolitan systems, like the New York Public Library, for example, the national libraries, like the Singapore Public Library, consortia, domestic and international libraries for the blind and handicapped as well. So that's public library reaching a community. Then there are school libraries where you're reaching the next generation of readers, the people that you're trying to educate into our world and who will be looking after us as we grow older. And then we also have what we broadly call professional at Overdrive, but is actually very different silos. The academic libraries, the corporate libraries, the government and special libraries. And here we serve professional associations. We serve the US Armed Forces, for example, but we also serve prison libraries for people who normally don't have access to books and for who access to books is really, really important to sort of either fight their case, basically, and legally, and having access to the legal tools, or also further their education and hopefully come out of prison with different prospects for the future. And then legal libraries, which is where the company actually started in 1986, converting legal books to floppy diskettes. Overdrive operates a marketplace, so that's the point of communication between the relationship between the publishers and Overdrive is really to have access to this very unique e-commerce platform, which has a very unique set of buyers on the other side. They are librarians. And this marketplace is something that we merchandise in the same way as any e-commerce platform would be merchandising. So here, as you see, this screenshot was taken 2 days ago. We've got our Spanish language spotlight going on around the world. This is being shown to over 76,000 libraries around the world at the moment, or whatever we're merchandising in whichever territory, because it changes from territory. So the global digital catalog of premium in copyright ebooks, audiobooks, magazines, and other digital content is displayed here and merchandised. Library and school buyers purchase access to collections from marketplace. Publishers and suppliers set their pricing. They approve the access models and the terms under which they sell to the libraries. The publishers manage their digital catalogs, the sales models, and the performance via real-time reports. And this marketplace has been operating worldwide since the year 2000. And we always improve on it, and it looks really good. So what does the inventory look like? This is a global platform selling to over 100 countries. We've got over 4 million in copyright titles that are available in this marketplace for libraries to choose from. Not all titles are available everywhere. It really is dependent on territorial rights. This is 2.5 or above 2.5 million ebooks, unique titles, close to 300,000 audiobooks. There are close to 40,000 publishers and imprints available in the catalog. And then we have what we call the other sort of categories with magazines, over 4,000 magazines that are available, and Libby Extras, which are the streaming videos, the educational content, database resources, and so on. So all of this is available in one place, and that is Marketplace. What's interesting here is you'll see that our platform is very trade publishing oriented. If we look at the split of the catalog by genre, we're looking at 38% of adult fiction, 48% of adult nonfiction, and then the rest is much, much smaller. So that's in itself an interesting point of view, because the school's platform started 5-6 years ago, and we'll see that catalog growing, but still not addressing the market that that's as fully as we could eventually. If we look at the non-English catalog that's available on Overdrive, Spanish is the next big language after English, and that's 39% of our non-English catalog is in Spanish, and that's thanks to many of you here today who are partners to Overdrive and through distribution. And the next largest catalog is German catalog, and here as well, thank you to all who partner with Overdrive to be able to sell those titles on the platform to libraries around the world. And then Chinese, French, and Japanese are the catalogs that are currently growing at the moment. And I thought that was quite surprising when I actually saw the pie chart, because I've been working with Overdrive now for close to 13 years, and I've been working on a catalog that comprises every single language in the EMEA region. And it gave me pause to think, and I just thought, that's actually quite a good representation of where I've spent 12 years of my career. So it was interesting to see that. But what's interesting also is how the access models have evolved over time. So currently, these are the main access models that are offered by publishers to the libraries to purchase books in digital format. One copy, one user is the equivalent of what you buy one book, and one user can borrow it at a time. Overdrive Max is a newly added business model where it's a license for 100 circulations. So the book is sold to the library with the assumption that it will be circulated up to 100 times, and then that license expires. A simultaneous use single title model is where, for example, a publisher will set a certain price for simultaneous use over a period of time. It could be 3 months, it could be 6 months, it could be 9 months. This can be used for a book club, or it can be used for a classroom where that book is the next book that will be read. Simultaneous use plans, this is sets of titles that can be used simultaneously for a period of 1 year. Cost per circulation, this is cost per loan. Basically, every time the book is borrowed, there's a payment that's made to the publisher. And class sets, which is for education only, but that's for books that are read in classrooms, where there's a license for a specific number of students for a very limited period in time, because that's the book that's being taught in the school. So looking at how that those business models have evolved over time, in 2019, you see that the majority of the inventory that we had was available only pretty much on one copy one user. There was a little bit of simultaneous use offered by certain publishers. And then 2020, there was an introduction of cost per circulation and more sim use being offered. And this was really in reaction to the pandemic. The schools closed, the libraries closed, the bookshops closed. And this was a time where publishers turned to us and said, what can we do to reach our readers? And at the time, we'd suggested various models, which some of them adopted. And in 2021, this is when we introduced Overdrive Max, which is yet another model and gives more flexibility. And this is how basically the publishers have adopted several business models to offer to the libraries. And the libraries have made use of these different models very tactically, basically, to meet demand as everything else around the physical world had shut down. A few examples of who participated in these models. So what happened with digital library circulation? This is digital library circulation across the world of these 76,000 libraries that we work with. And this is how digital library circulation has increased over time. And you see that 2020 and 2021, the digital circulation has gone above what we had projected. And this is obviously, we had no idea in 2019 that that COVID would happen, and it did. But it's interesting to see that increase over projection is important, but it hasn't replaced the other ways in which people engage with books either. This is a very interesting, we always talk about loans in libraries, but actually libraries who mostly deal with one copy, one user will never ever meet the demand that's made in the market, basically. So a good KPI to look at is the holds. And holds is where people put a reserve on a book and say, I would really like to read this book, but there are 20 people queued up. So when it becomes available, I'd like to borrow it. And that's the holds. So 2017, 2018, 2019, our holds are going up. 2020, our holds really went up. That was when there was the most demand. People could not find books as easily as before in books, in the alternative spaces where they would normally go, whether it's a bookshop, etc. They turned to the library and they couldn't borrow because there wasn't enough. And with the introduction across 2020 and 2021 of different business models, those holds held, but the year-on-year growth hasn't. So we're meeting more demand with the business models as we go along. The interesting thing is when that demand is not met in a library, when the person can't find the book or can't borrow the book that they initially wanted to borrow in the library, there are a lot of other titles that they could pick from. So it's also a place of discovery, and this sort of ad hoc of, well, that book's not available, but this one looks interesting and I'll read that one instead. digital library circulation, this is around magazines. This is magazine monthly circulation for a period of a year, basically. So comics and graphic novels, that's increasing, basically, the use of comics and graphic novels over time. And then these are the various ways in which, at least through digital lending, people are engaging with books. So basically, they're discovering books in the Libby app, which is our public library app, the Sora student app, which is the app that we use in schools, the digital library collection. Every library has its own customized digital library collection online. So it's a website. People are discovering books there. We have an open access catalog or discovery service. So this is just from the overdrive.com website. People can browse books and see whether those books are available in their library. API calls to Overdrive servers and third-party search services that are integrated, for example, Google and Kobo and other browser extensions. So all of this contributes to a broader discovery of titles and an exposure of books and authors to readers out there in the world of digital reading. So looking a little bit at what people have been interested in and what they are interested in reading, and it's mostly fiction, basically. 28% like reading fiction. And then it's thriller, mystery, historical fiction, literature, nonfiction, suspense, romance, juvenile fiction, and fantasy. And that's basically the circulation by the top 10 genres on Overdrive, connected libraries that are connected through Overdrive. And the most popular search terms in the last 12 months are rather interesting as well. Minecraft, romance, audiobook, Christmas, Star Wars, etc. So it's rather, there's Amish down there that you might not be able to see, in Lego. So these are some of the search terms that are most popular across the data that we see. And looking at the interest and engagement, we run a lot of book clubs, and this is with the cooperation of the publishers, the authors, and these book clubs basically have evolved since 2019. We run several types of book clubs. It's the Big Library Read. This is a book club that goes across the globe. Together we read our in countries such as the US. There'll be a national one in the US, or there'll be a national one in the UK or in Australia around a particular ebook or audiobook or both. And the Sora Sweet Reads, which is a summer program for children and students to engage with books over time. So this is the lending evolution over time, which has Sora Sweet Reads has almost doubled since 2020, and the Big Library Read has grown a lot. With these titles that have been featured in these large scale book clubs, what we see is, this is an example and of Five Total Strangers, which was part of one of these book clubs. And if you look at the impact of the Amazon rank for that particular title during the Big Library Read campaign, you'll see that there are a lot of people engaging with purchases or that title and trying to purchase it, as well as engaging with it in the library as well. So with the exposure through a book club, through conversation, through all of the things that I talked about before, looking at the books on the web pages, on the app, on the API calls, etc., increases the exposure of that title to more readers, and more readers will talk about it, and more readers will go to alternative sources because they probably don't have a library card to actually purchase that book. And that's it from me.